You're listening to The Earl Oaken Show, thanks to Littlesmasher.com. Hello and welcome to The Earl Oaken Show, a podcast especially for you, Earl's online friends. My name is Adam Larking. Coming up, we'll be hearing from the musical genius and sex symbol himself when I took a stroll down Portapilla Road to meet up with him for coffee and cakes in his room.
If you come to my room.
Now, if you know how to subscribe to podcasts, then use the feed address http://feeds.feedburner.com/Earl Oaken. And you'll get any new episodes as soon as they're released. Otherwise, fear not, you can stay in touch with the podcast at any of Earl's webpages. But first, let's have a listen to one of his own songs. It's called London Now, and afterwards we can hear Earl on a range of subjects, from the X Factor to what he's doing for Christmas this year.
I long to be in London now. In London now, the autumn's hanging in the breeze. I long to hear on every bough starlings and sparrows sharing gossip in the trees. The riverside at eventide will glow and day's done. The stars appear, the air is clear. Believe it, that fog's long gone from London. So I wish somehow to be in London now. And Paris, she is not my style. New York hangs heavy in its hot and humid clime. I never sought a tropic isle. I'd soon get tired of sand and water all the time. I long to linger at the windows in the West End while strolling to a rendezvous with someone who's much more than a best friend. So I wish and how I were in London now.
Have a mug of coffee, a plate of those mini Battenberg cakes in front of me, and across the table is the one and only musical genius and international sex symbol, Earl Oaken. Earl, hello.
Delighted to have you know me.
Welcome to your own show.
Hey.
Your online friends want to know how you are.
How am I? I'm sort of average, I think. I think that's, yes, average.
Well, that's better than bad.
It is.
We were just hearing a song of yours, London Now. How can the listener get hold of a copy of that?
Well, first of all, they can hear it on my MySpace site, which is www.myspace.com/Earl Oaken, one word, spelled E-A-R-L-O-K-I-N, and not the various weird ways in which I see my name spelled all over the place. So they can hear it there, and they can contact me there if they want to, and I can burn them a CD from which it comes. It's called Songs from a Garden Shed, named after, of course, my recording studio in which I made my CD. Now, if the Beatles could do it with Abbey Road, I thought, why shouldn't I name mine after my recording studio?
That's fair enough.
I think that's fair enough. I did the arrangement. I wrote the song in the style of, you know, the sort of song that, say, Frank Sinatra could have recorded. And the trouble with Frank Sinatra's songs is they're far too American. And one is British, isn't one? So I decided, never mind New York, Chicago, they've got quite enough. London. All the London songs tend to be sort of Noel Coward or earlier, or, you know what I mean? They're not. Mm-hmm. So my one was about London.
About the place where you live, or...?
No, not especially. Well, it's London. I live in London, but it's not... it's a general thing saying London is wonderful, and, you know, the starlings and the trees, and, you know... I think what was in my mind, it was the feeling of walking around the streets of London in the autumn, when it's not cold and it's not hot. It's just sort of... just a nice temperature.
International sex symbol.
Hey.
The string of ladies must be endless.
It is.
Any in particular?
But the thing is, women do have to understand, I've only got a certain amount of time in my life. I have time for some people, and even then, only a certain amount of time each. I mean, it's cruel, I know, but it's best to be honest at the beginning, because I don't like to sort of raise people's hopes, you know. It's just only fair, don't you think? You know, I try and do what I can. I spread myself fairly thin. But there comes a point when you say, look, enough is enough. I need to be alone sometimes.
It must be hard to continuously break young ladies' hearts.
It is, but I do tell them from the start, you know, this is not going to be one of those deep things that you wanted, because, you know, there probably is someone who can match me somewhere, but I haven't seen her yet. So all I can do is to help out and to sort of give somebody a sort of... something as a goal to sort of aim at, you know, in future, so they know what the real thing is, you see.
And if a young lady's listening to this and she's got her hopes up quite high, what advice could you give her for her to have any chance with you getting some oak in love?
Well, it's the whole package, isn't it? It's some beauty, some charm, and definitely some of those grey cells, very important.
Clearly there is some sort of sexual pull, some sort of attraction that you have. Can you qualify that? What is it about you?
No idea. It's one of those things you just... it's obviously done something genetic, you know. It sort of oozes out in some way. It's like a sort of an aura, I think. But, you know, it's rather like being behind the speakers in an auditorium. You can't hear what they're hearing. You're by the microphone, and it's the same thing. I'm sort of behind the aura. I don't know what I'm giving out. I think I'm just being just pleasant, you know. And they're getting this whole sort of, I don't know, sort of instant honey of some sort. It's very strange.
Yes, it's an enviable quality.
Mm. Well, it can be over the top, you know. You've seen with some of the pop groups of the past, you know, it can lead to complete lunacy. And I try and keep away from that situation.
So I'm assuming this is where you have a barred gate on your front door.
That's basically, yeah. Well, it's, you know.
Do you have a favourite nationality of young lady?
Currently Brazil. Brazil. And I do go over there to try and help out a lot, because I think it's only fair that you do, because I believe the ratio of women to men is something like 3-1. And as I say, I like to help out where I can. I can't be everywhere, you know. But if I can help a little bit, even temporarily, so that they get some sort of small share of what's on offer, I think it's only fair that I do that. It's almost like a work of charity, really. No, that sounds terribly patronising. No, I just want to help out, and it is difficult. It is, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's a bit like noblesse oblige, isn't it, really? That's really what it is.
Would you ever enter the X Factor?
No. It's very simple, no. When I was 12, there were two chances of being on TV. One was Carol Levis Discoveries, which was very cheesy, and it was a sort of a talent competition. And hey, everybody, well, he wasn't he great? You know, we sort of, oh, please, go away and have sex with yourself and disappear. And on the other side, there was the guy who actually ran the BBC for a while. He ran, it was almost like an arts program featuring kids, and it was called All Your Own. And I wanted to be on that.
And
pointing to a picture on the wall, black and white.
1959, with me and my guitar, which was made by my father.
In front of a television camera.
Indeed. That was in Manchester. It was in a church. I remember that. It was a sort of defrocked church. They made it into a studio.
And who's the man standing next
to
you?
Well, say, the guy who I thought was going to have was unavailable, so I ended up having Brian Johnson. That's Johnners, yes.
The Johnners.
That's Johnners. And you see, I was rather younger then. And I still had a neck. Anyway, I was 12.
You haven't changed a bit.
No, no, not a bit. And even at that age, you know, dignity, being treated as an artist was what mattered. So that's what I did. I was on that program. Now, X Factor and Britain's Got Talent. I wouldn't love myself. Well, I mean, I don't want to know what they think of me. I don't give a damn. I tell you what my critics are called. They're called audiences. There's my critic. I much prefer, not that I do it because it wouldn't make sense for me to do it, but I much prefer the raison d'etre of the Matthew Kelly, is that his name?
The Stars one, the, in Their Eyes.
Yeah, well, that one is somebody who doesn't really want to, A, that he treats them very well, he's very nice to them, and they've got some hero which they can do an impression of reasonably well. And they give them all the backing they want, and they can take that home and show it to their friends the rest of their life. Look, my God, you did that. You're great, you see? That's a lovely, warm program for amateur singers, if you will, or people who want to be singers in the future, whatever. That's fine. I don't mind that. It's sort of nice. But the other... I really don't like it.
Christmas, what's going on for you?
Usually I do my income tax returns. It's the phone doesn't ring and you can just get on with things. And it's not particularly pleasant, but at the end of it you think, hey, I've done all that today. I won't have to do it again tomorrow and it's done. And then I'll be able to send it off and forget it for another year. There's nothing I want to see. I like, just like records, I like old films. I just think they just made them better. I was just watching the other day the two White Christmas song films. One is called Holiday Inn, which nobody seems to remember. And then because it became the hit of all time, they made a film in 1954 called White Christmas. I don't know, they just had a way of making films then that was just... Of course they had, you know, people who had a bit of talent, like Bing Crosby could sing a bit and Fred Astaire could dance a bit. So it did help if you had people like that in it. And they all seemed to be able to act. And now it's all about special effects. It's either full frontal sex, which is very nice, but if it's not happening to me, it's completely pointless as far as I'm concerned. And if it's not that, it's then people's bodily parts being blown apart by bombs, bullets and everything, and people saying, hey, you don't try that with me because I'm going to kick your ass or something of that nature. People aren't like that in real life. I don't believe it. They can't do sentiment. If they try and do it, they lay on with a trowel and you just want to be sick. You know, every now and then, of course, they can do it and they do it well.
Okay, before we go, do you have any message for your online friends this festive period?
Well, of course, happy Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever else those of you are out getting freezing cold, looking at large lumps of stone in the west of England, waiting for mid-winter solstice. To all of you, enjoy whatever it is you're doing. I decided a couple of years ago that the best Christmas songs were all written by Jews. So I thought, Jesus was one of our boys, you know. So I thought I'd join the tradition, because it can also be a sad time and nostalgia and missing things like Judy Garland and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas in St. Louis, Meet Me St. Louis. So I thought I'd write one of those. So this one is a sort of nostalgia for when one was a kid and really enjoyed Christmas. So this one is called Christmas Is When We Were Young.
Oh, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Once long ago, Christmas always led to love. laughter under the Christmas tree. Then we were young, we thought happy ever after, spoke of our lives to be. Then all our dear ones still were our near ones. Time slowly tore us apart. Now once again
you'll never forget. Come and see Earl live. Bring your friends and catch him before the year is out. You can see him in the evening of Thursday the 18th of December at Barnstormers Comedy. That's at the Rhodes Arts Complex in Bishop Stortford. Or on the afternoon at 2 p.m. of Friday the 19th of December. That's at the Portobello Winter Festival. Alternatively, he's playing downstairs at the King's Head in Crouch End on Saturday the 20th of December in the evening. And on New Year's Eve, he'll be at the Comedy Tree at the Walkabout on Putney High Street. And if you can't see him until the new year, on the Saturday the 17th of January, he's playing the Grand at Clapham. On Monday the 19th of January, he'll be at the Folly Wine and Ale House in Petersfield. And on Saturday the 31st of January, he'll be in the Hampstead Comedy Club. That's at the Adelaide on Adelaide Road in NW3, London. Thank you for listening. My name is Adam Larkin, and until the next time, goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by LittleSmasher.com.